The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
It's a Sunday morning and we're doing Sunday in the Crypt, and that is where we discuss cryptocurrencies. And I've got a different day actually. Nick is here with the charts. Are you all right, Nick?
Very good, thanks. Good morning.
And I've also got someone who sort of helped us along the way as well, and you know, knows quite a bit about it seems the cryptocurrency. And it's Martin Film, or I call him Martin on Twitter. You'll find it as Martin Film. And Martin, what is that picture of Clint Eastwood holding a gun? Isn't it on your Twitter account?
Yes. Hi, Justin.
Hi there.
Yes, it's Clint. Clint Eastwood.
It's Dirty Harry, I think it is, isn't it? Make my day, punk. But Mark, thanks for coming on, because you've helped us quite a bit. Now, I just asked you before we were recording, I said, how long have you been into sort of, you know, blockchain and cryptocurrencies? And it's not been long, has it?
No, it hasn't been that long. It's about 3 months, and I just went very deep into it. I usually, as soon as I get obsessed with certain things, I just go and research and spend hours and hours doing it.
Well, listen, I've got to thank you, because I've sent you endless amount of questions on Twitter, and you, fair play, you've covered them off and answered them. Because, and I was saying to Nick on a previous podcast recently, I think the reason why this will take off and why it's good to get involved now and start researching cryptocurrencies and blockchain technology is that access isn't easy. You know, for the average punter, like I said, if I'm buying an AIM stock or a stock from, you know, a company on a share or something, I'll just go to my broker, which is Barclays Stockbrokers, type in the code and buy. It's not that easy, is it, with cryptocurrencies? It's a couple of hurdles you have to jump on, hoops you have to get through to actually, you know, get, and it's a learning process, and you've helped me with that. But that in itself, I think, is a good thing for now, because if you do get over those hurdles, through those hoops, and manage to get some cryptocurrency, you know, before it becomes mainstream, when I assume access will be a lot easier, that's when it'll really take off. So I think now that moat, you know, that barrier to entry is a good thing if you get over it. And do you reckon the same kind of thing, Mart?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's something that you can't really use that easily. You just have to set up a few things, and it takes actually a few days to first set up and to actually understand. But I think once it becomes mainstream and everybody can use it, then you will see the user amount just going through the, you know.
Yeah, and the thing you said there is once it becomes mainstream, and we're assuming it will become mainstream. But on Google, I've set up Google News. You can set up filters, and you can set up say blockchain or Bitcoin or Ethereum or anything at all. And I look at that pretty much on a daily basis. And there's a lot of articles out there being published about blockchain, you know. And I'm not talking about small little tech websites. I'm talking about big sites that are mentioning big companies getting involved in blockchain. You know, Daimler, like some of the biggest banks in the world. So you've got to assume, to a certain extent, if these guys are taking this seriously, you know, the currently the industry players in finance or in motor industry, if they're taking this seriously, then we should really, as investors, take it seriously, because it will become mainstream, I think, and they are adopting it. Like I said, there are whole departments now and big companies dedicated to blockchain. So I think, why is that happening? And the only other industry I can see that this hot, really, is like virtual reality, and all the big players in that industry are also getting involved in that. And I'm thinking, you've got to take notice of it, really. Anyway, let's get on to, so what we're going to do, Mark, the reason why we've got you on here is because you helped me and Nick, and so hopefully you'll help other people. So we're going to start off with going through three ways to sort of buy blockchain or get involved in buying cryptocurrency, and then we'll go into charts and we'll look at one sort of cryptocurrency you quite like at the moment. So first and foremost, Mark, what's the first thing people should do if they want to get into this space is going to be hot, what's the first thing they should do, fella?
So basically, they would just have to open an account with some type of bridge platform, which is basically where you buy from fiat to crypto, so from fiat from any currency, dollar, euros or pounds, onto to Bitcoin. So you could use Coinbase is one of the most popular platforms around the world, really. It's the one that has the most users. Then you have blockchain.info, which is another one. Now they're quite different themselves, because with Coinbase you can buy, but it goes into your wallet before it actually goes into Bitcoin. So you can buy it when you want.
Yeah.
As soon as the funds get there, you can buy it with the Bitcoin whenever you want.
Yes.
Whereas blockchain.info, you basically is only when the transaction happens, which could happen in a few days. Lose that. Yeah.
I've got to say, I set up both of those, actually. I've got blockchain.info. We'll put these links on the site there. But a term there I didn't realize what it was until about 2 weeks ago, a week ago, was fiat money. Like the car, fiat. It's called fiat money. And it's and I just looked it up I don't know why it's called that, but it's inconvertible pay. I don't know why it's called that. Yeah, I thought, why is it called that? Because it's not an acronym or anything. And it's basically the definition of inconvertible paper money made legal tender by government decree. And so essentially you have to convert your money, your normal money, your dollar, your pound, whatever, into a tradable currency. And at the moment, it's only Bitcoin or Ethereum, isn't it, that you can buy other cryptocurrencies with? Is that correct, Mart?
Yeah, the Coinbase, you can buy Bitcoin, Ethereum, or Litecoin, whereas blockchain.info is just Bitcoin. But I think in the near future, you will start having the other coins.
Yes, you can go straight to converting into it. But I see that as like, I see Bitcoin pretty much as like, to explain to people, to liken it to the real world, as like dollar. So, I mean, if you go around the world, anywhere in the world will pretty much take the dollar, you know? I mean, even in smaller countries have their own currencies, they will pretty much take the dollar because they know it's a hard currency. At the moment, Bitcoin and Ethereum is a bit like that. Maybe Litecoin is coming like that. But it's a currency that's trusted, isn't it? It's got a certain amount, even if it's not that stable, they've got a certain amount of stability and liquidity that lots of people are trading. So you have to buy into those currencies first, even if you want to buy another, cryptocurrency. So, so you advise that to me. Coinbase is one of the most used, I think, and blockchain info is not the most used, but I quite like the interface. It's very simple. So we'll put those aside.
Yeah.
So you put your money in, and that's the thing, and you put your money in via, there's two different ways, isn't it? You can put your money in by just a credit card or debit card, but that's got very low limits, hasn't it, on that thing? I think it's about $200 or something ridiculous. You know, per day or per week, I can't remember what it was. But there's another way of doing it, isn't it? That's by bank transfer. You set up a bank transfer, and that raises the limits, doesn't it?
Yes. So basically, in the credit card, you have smaller limits. Coinbase is a little bit better because it's about 500 euros or pounds per week.
Yeah, I was going to say, I did $500 with Coinbase, I think.
Yeah, okay, exactly. But by bank transfer, it could take, 2 to 3 days or even more sometimes. It really depends.
Yeah, well, I've just done that. It's taken a bit longer than that, I know, but... what I would say is always a good thing, and I think you probably say this, Martin, is always set up for security purposes that two FA, I think it is?
Yes.
Yeah,
two-factor authentication.
Yes, and basically that means, doesn't it, that you, whenever you want to do a transaction on the website there or on the app, you have to use your phone to authenticate that, to make sure no one's just nicked your password or something, that you also have to have your phone as well. So, and I didn't even know about this. You told me about get Google Authenticator. Now, do you want to explain that? Because I thought, what is this? I thought, when I was doing this, it's very, when you're new into a field, you said, this is very confusing. Why do I have to do all these things? When I'm trading some stocks, I don't have to do all this stuff. And so it almost puts you off straight away. But like I said, that is pretty much a good thing at the start. If there's barriers to entry, a lot of people won't be doing it. When it becomes mainstream, a lot of people will be doing it. But do you want to explain Google Authenticator? Because I didn't know what the heck was going on.
So basically, it's just a second step of security as such, because unfortunately, in the crypto world, in the old days, in the beginning of Bitcoin, there was a lot of hacking and a lot of wallets getting stolen and a lot of Bitcoin getting stolen because there was no security, higher security. So I think the two form authentication came later than that, and started getting a bit more secure across, you know, all the platforms, so that people don't hack into your account. And I think there's still people that lose certain crypto coins because they forget to put the two-factor authentication.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's quite important to do that.
It's very good, actually. But what it asks you to go to, like, open up your app, Google Authenticate, it gives you a 6-digit passcode, and that has like a 30-second or minute, I think, time limit on it, and they change every minute, those codes. And so you punch that in, and then you get access. But it's just the security.
Okay. Exactly. It's harder to hack, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. So the first we're only on step one here. So open an account at Coinbase or blockchain or one of those well-known, well-used sites. And that's number one. That's in order to get the money in order to buy Bitcoin and to transfer it to other cryptocurrencies. Okay, what's point two then, Miles? What next thing should someone do?
Is get a secured wallet. So there's several different wallets. There's cloud wallets and there's cold wallets and hardware wallets. I generally suggest to go Exodus, which is a very good wallet, until you get the Ledger Nano, which is actually a USB stick, which you can keep with you. So it's actually sort of localized on a hardware wallet, basically. It's a safer means of keeping your crypto coins. Obviously, the problem with wallets, there's some wallets that accept certain coins and other ones don't. So you kind of have to know which coins do you actually want to keep, and if the wallet is compatible with that coin, then you get that wallet and you keep it there. But I think, as time goes by, the wallets will get more and more coins, and Exodus is already, getting coins, sort of every 3 months, new coins in there. The same with Ledger Nano, which has quite a few as well.
To explain, I suppose the most secure, isn't it, is a hardware wallet, which is like they come in different forms, but I mean, essentially, it's a USB stick, Ledger. So this is Ledger Nano S, isn't it? And the trouble is, there's a heck of a waiting time for this, isn't there, waiting period? I ordered mine, say, 2 weeks ago. September, that's coming. You can tell how hot this space is. But that's the most secure, I suppose. But you plug it into your computer, and it's like a little bank there. You keep your cryptos on there. But like I said, it only holds a certain amount of cryptocurrency. Like I said, if you have to wait for that, and I really like Exodus, which sits on your desktop, which also is the next to us. How is that termed? That's not a cloud based, is it? How do they term that one? Exodus.
In terms of what it means.
Yeah, because you can get website based ones, but this one sits on your desktop, so I'd assume this is more secure.
Is a local wallet, so keeps it. Yeah, it's more secure than cloud wallet.
Yeah, that's it.
Like Jax and other ones that they are around, they had troubles in the past. Every cloud wallet sometimes it can get hacked. So I always recommend sort of Ledger to keep it. If you want, big quantities of crypto coins, it's definitely worth it having a hardware wallet. It's more secure.
Absolutely. So hardware is the most secure, and then something like Exodus, which sits on your desktop, is next down in security, but still very secure, I assume. And then obviously the cloud there, which is on websites and wallets. Which I suppose if you, as long as you up the ante on security and put as many levels of security as possible, it's pretty much relatively safe, but it's not the safest means. So, like I said, if you're holding lots of currency, it's best to get a hardware wallet, but there's a waiting time for that. There's different versions, but the most popular seems Ledger Nano S. Like I said, I'll put links on the blog page to these. Okay, so you've got your account way in which you can trade money now. You've got your wallet set up. So how do you actually trade cryptocurrencies then, Mart?
So basically, you will have to subscribe to an exchange, which is sort of a broker for the crypto world, really, where you can buy all the other altcoins. They called altcoins because the alternative to Bitcoin was the main coin, and that's where you basically have all your other altcoins that your wallet won't be able to have. And you can trade in and out of them, so you'll have buy orders and sell orders, and you can just. But as soon as you buy an altcoin, you buy it from a Bitcoin, and you want to sell it, the altcoin, it goes back to Bitcoin. So Bitcoin is the base of transaction. One of the biggest exchanges that most altcoins are compatible with is Bittrex. Then, I mean, there's several. There's Bitfinex, Poloniex, Bitstamp, and GDEX. But Bittrex seems to be one of the most popular ones because it's quite stable. There's a lot of... it doesn't have a huge, beautiful interface, but... is a very stable platform, and you can keep lots of different altcoins in there and buy and sell, basically.
I mean, at the moment, like I said, people advise not to keep your coins, if you've got a big amount, on exchanges. I don't know why. I mean, Bittrex seems very secure, but just in case, they always say transfer them once you've bought them into your wallet. But having said that, like you said, the wallets only hold a certain amount of coins, the most popular coins. So, like, I've got an issue with, what is it, Factum, you know, which is FCT. I bought some of that, and I can't store that anywhere. And there seems a way of storing it on a paper wallet. I don't know how to set it, but you have to be a coder to please set this up, wallet up, and I thought, I can't do that. So I've just left it on Bittrex. But, I mean, like I said, I've got a highest level of security on there, and it seems like a decent enough, and I don't hold a lot of it anyway, so it's not like, you know, I'm going to lose millions of pounds. But, until, you know, other sort of wallets, you know, sort of make this adjustment and start sort of giving the compatibility to store these altcoins, then you have to leave them on exchanges, I suppose, don't you?
Yeah, at some point all the wallets will have, you know, loads of coins, and you'll be able to store that. But until then, I think we'll have to keep it within the exchange, really.
Yeah, cool. All right, and so that's the three steps and getting started. And name one you like, because I'm looking at, and like I said, it's worth saying, we're talking about, we've mentioned a couple, say three or four maybe, cryptocurrencies here. Like we've mentioned Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, I think I mentioned a couple. But if you look on the website, like coinmarketcap.com, there are 100 there, top, and the first page only, there's top 100. So there are loads of them. So there's one, what do you like at the moment, Martin? What are you looking at? Why do you like it?
At the moment, I've been looking a lot at Ripple, because it's quite a different coin compared to all the others, because it's been started to actually work with different banks. So basically, it's a game changing for the bank network. You know, the amount of times that the regular user, whenever you transfer money from one country to another, and it takes 3 days as we know it. I mean, the example of Coinbase is a perfect example. Where Ripple is trying to change that, so it's fighting against the SWIFT system, so which takes days. So the transaction of Ripple, it will take 3 to 6 seconds, and that's one of the reasons why the banks are joining in. Almost every week or every month, we'll see there's loads of banks just joining in, and there's about 100 already in the Ripple network.
Cool.
So it's quite a love and hate relationship in terms of the crypto lovers, because Ripple is not a mined coin. All the coin supply was all pre-mined. So there was about 100 billion Ripple tokens when they started. But 60 billion actually are owned by the creators themselves and the corporations. So there's only 33 billion getting traded, and a lot of them are sticky holders because they know what's to come because of the amount of banks that are joining into this Ripple network.
Yeah, I'm just looking at this on this website. It's the third biggest by market cap. It's about 9.6 billion. Below, you know, Bitcoin's first, Ethereum second, Ripple's third. And circulating supply is massive. So it's got, I mean, Bitcoin is has 16 million. Ethereum has 92 million. Ripple has 38 billion circulating supply. I don't know what that means, but really, whether that means, you know, But you think, and I've seen this, they are hooked up with a lot of banks on their stuff, so you'd think, you know, it's a good space to be in.
Yes, definitely. I mean, it's basically the other tokens that are not the other 60 billion Ripple tokens, they get every month they get introduced into the market. So, but they, because they want to preserve the coin value, they're not going to release all of them. Basically, that's what they say to the general public. So hopefully they keep their words. But
when you come to invest in the hope. Is a big word, isn't it? I've seen that with AIM stocks, board of directors just go back on what they say, and you think, well, I'm going to trust those guys, you know. But it's good that they have ownership, I suppose. But they must have made a huge amount of money from when it was launched to where they are now, mustn't they?
Yes, they got quite a few million. I'm not exactly sure what was the amount.
Okay,
but
cool.
They increased a huge amount in terms of value from 0.03, I believe, to
0.29. Yeah. All right, cool. So that's Ripple, and that's the ticker there is XRP, isn't it?
Yes.
All right, okay. XRP. Well, Nick, let's have a look at some charts. I can see now, look at most of the currencies here in the top 10, top 20, they look to be dropping today, are they?
Yeah, and yesterday in sort of a sea of red across them, everything's in a correction. So this is one of those occasions where I think that, you know, I don't think it hurts going back to cash. And these brokerages, you can go back to US dollars or euros, whatever, and wait for them to bottom.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of does depend, you know, on where you entered. But if you're a recent investor and you're not, it's not far away from your entry price, I don't think that's a bad idea until we see some signs of them turning up again, which I expect. This is choppy, it's overlapping waves. When you see that technically, that's a sign of a correction, not an impulsive wave. So it's not, you know, this is the high and we're never going up again in the cryptocurrency space. This is just a correction that generally tends to chop everybody out before they turn up again. And then when everybody gives up and is, you know, that's when the corrections are usually over.
Okay.
So it just requires some patience.
So what about Ripple? Have a look at, what do you think of the chart, Ripple?
Yeah,
chart?
I kind of really like Ripple too, you know, and Ripple's like, but really, Ripple since the sort of end of May has been in a sideways wedge pattern in a tighter and tighter range. You usually see that on a chart before it makes a big move. And I am literally watching this every day for it to make a move. I think if Ripple, and I'm looking at the prices, Ripple versus Bitcoin. So if Ripple versus Bitcoin gets back above 0.0001, I would say that it's on its way. Above 0.00105, it has bottomed, and we should be looking higher. So, or at least it's going to have a good go. But at the moment, it's still sideways, and the risk is it goes lower. But above those levels, I think we could see a good run upside.
Cool. And is there any other currency to be looking at that you think is interesting at the moment, or they're all pretty much of the same ilk?
Yeah, no, so they've got these ant shares on Bittrex, which are wildly popular in China. And
are they called ant shares?
Yeah, ant shares.
Wow.
And they are a bit more bullish. Like, I'd like to see this a little bit lower in a correction. So it's at 0.003 at the moment. If this comes back to about 0.0025, I think this is a really nice spot. I've got my eye on ant shares to buy dips just because I like how it's set up.
Okay, that's ANS ticker there, just found that. Yes, ant shares. Okay, cool. And anything else, Nick?
So we're all watching EOS, aren't we, that's just launched. And so you've actually got a few hours. If you subscribe, so you can't get them on TradingView, but I'm trying out the charting site called Coinergy, which is really interesting. You can get charts from... It's a subscription site.
How do you spell that?
Coinergy.
All right, Coinergy, okay. Coinergy, okay, cool.
Yeah, so you can... chart from any, so it's like a collaborator, so you can get charts from any of these exchanges, any of the coins, all in one place.
Yeah.
And if you link your account at those exchanges to Coinergy, you can trade from it. So it's like a trading platform as well. Okay. And it's quite good, you know, for the as a trading platform. It'll tell you all the bids and offers, the volume, like it's a lot of detailed information. So, and you can also take a look at a chart from one of them. So we've got, you know, about 8 hours of price action, I think, in EOS. Not enough to draw any lines on, but looks all right.
Yeah. Someone said, I was on Guardian or something. I posted a thing. It's an EOS, which we've taken part in, I think, in the ICO, initial coin offering. It's one of the most successful ever. Is that right?
Apparently, yeah. It made a lot of money.
So 3 days ago, Pierce, a guy called Pierce involved in this space, launched a token distribution of EOS, a blockchain coin offering that's already taken $100 million. It's more than that now, apparently, but it's around about $200 million. This is a 340-day project that's already broken every record. It's 100% certain we're going to surpass Bancor, the most successful ICO to date. So talking about the EOS, just we'll finish up
with
this.
Well, Martin was the one that was all over over this one, wasn't
it?
What happens now? I did what they said. I bought some, but I don't know where they are. So how do I get them? Where are these tokens?
They're a bit tricky. Are they?
I don't think they yet. I think he's coming this week, as far as I know, for Bittrex, possibly.
But where's mine, though? I bought mine on MetaMask. Where the heck is it now?
I think we'll have to register. There's another step that we'll have to do in terms of register the token itself, which is... they won't be on an exchange, our tokens. Our tokens will be, I believe... on the platform itself.
Okay.
So we might not see the tokens until later, I think, after all the stages, the periods that they have.
Yeah. This is the thing. I have no idea where they are. They are literally in the ether somewhere. I have no idea. This is the thing with digital currency. It's just out there. But hopefully the marvellous stuff. All right, guys. Well, listen, I think we've done enough for Sunday morning. It's been quite a long one.
Could I ask you, Martin?
Yes.
Can I ask you, Martin, what you think about Stratus?
I do like Stratus quite a lot. I haven't gone very deep into it in terms of knowing the platform itself, how to integrate it and how to actually use it. But it's a very good coin based on what I've been hearing.
Hang on, Stratus, right? I don't know what's happened here, but... Stratus, I bought some Stratus, and you had to put it basically in their own wallet. So I put it in their own wallet, which is a bit slow to load. It took when I first loaded it, it said you are 38 weeks behind on the update. So it took an hour to update it. But I loaded my Stratus into their wallet. But when I bought them, I'm sure that they're 25th of the biggest, and now they're 11th. But unless they've issued more coins, does that mean the price has gone up? I don't know what I bought them at. It's a trouble. I'll have to look.
I believe you might have bought it at about $6. When you mention it, I do remember around that. So you might be a little bit down. But Stratus is definitely a coin to sort of keep for the future because it's a very good very good company.
Yeah, Strat is the ticker there. Okay, cool.
And also, it's always good to know, I mean, besides the Ripple and knowing the story about the Ripple, it's always good to look at the coin supply and not go for big coins that have too much supply.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, cool. Marvel stuff. All right.
So I would just say before we close, I'm watching the big ones like, you know, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Litecoin this morning, right on support and right about to maybe, you know, take a swing higher. I'm not saying the correction's over, but at least start an upswing here. And Stratus is right on support too. So let's see if we can have an up day today.
I think they're all crashing.
Do you?
Yeah.
I hope so. Everybody says that, and then we can buy them all.
Because I think it will, because they were a heck of a rise recently. I think they'll crash a little bit, and then they'll go crazy again, then even surpass further in a previous highs. But yeah, it's a very volatile, and I think it's the kind of market that people get scared out of quickly. So I think once selling starts, it begets selling, and then you know, it goes crazy. But then all of a sudden, it'll go the other way. Once buying starts again, people will, you know, newer people will come into the market again, because it'll be, it'll take a time where it'll be in the press, and people say, "Oh, cryptocurrencies are crashing," and other people say, you know, for a while there'll be people scared. Then people will be saying, "This is the time to get in," and then people do start getting in. Because if it's one thing people hate more than you know, the fear of sort of losing money, it's the fear of missing out. You know, that missing out on a bargain and making money, and that's a very strong. It's just fear and greed, isn't it? Greed is almost bigger than fear sometimes. And when it does
animal
bottom,
spirits.
Yeah. And so I think we'll have this, you'll have more people entering the market, and buying up the next wave will be even bigger than the last wave. Because I said there are people now, you can just tell by certain things that are going on. More people are mentioning it, it's in the articles, the headlines more. Even that Ledger Nano S, that little USB sort of you know, wallet, which is the most popular on the market, you can't get for several months now. It's nuts, because it shows how many people are coming in to the space, you know. But yeah, I just think it'll be a huge field. But anyway, that's my cryptocurrency two penneth worth. Guys, thank you very much, and have a nice Sunday, and look forward to the markets opening tomorrow, and speak tomorrow, Nick. Bye-bye. See you, Mark. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.